We continue through Job. We finished last week in chapter 12 is where we ended. And chapter 12, basically before that, Job is answering his friend Zophar. And as we progress through Job's friend, we had Eliphaz who spoke first, who tried to be kind to Job and kind of cajoling him and help bringing him along so that Job would understand and see his own sin. And Job says, "But I haven't sinned." And so Bildad spoke up and said, "Yes, you sinned and you have to do something about it." He was that tough love guy. And then we had Zophar. And Zophar had given up on tough love and was just flat out mean. And so Job is responding to Zophar and to Zophar's attitude. And he starts out chapter 12 saying, "No doubt," my eyes for the day, you have to bear with me. "No doubt you are the people and wisdom will die with you. But I have understanding as well as you." So we have this idea that Job, number one, is saying, I have as much wisdom, I have as much right to speak as you all do, and I understand my plight even better. And then he goes on to speak about God in great ways, of God's wisdom and God's power, God's mastery over nature as its creator. And we learn more about God and how Job views God. And so we start in chapter 13, and in chapter 13, Job is going to begin to prepare his defense, complaint of God. I read it sometimes and think he's complaining about God, and sometimes I look at it and think he's pleading to God. I think that's something that you all will have to decide for yourselves. But before we get there, let's have a word of prayer. Amen. Thank you. So let's look then in Job 13, beginning in verse 1. "Behold, my eyes have seen all this. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you, but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you, forgers of lies, you are worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be silent, and it would be your wisdom. Now hear my reasoning and heed the pleading of my lips. Will you speak wickedly of God and talk deceitfully for him? Will you show partiality for him? Will you contend for God? Will it be well when he searches you out, or can you mock him as one mocks a man? He will surely rebuke you if you secretly show partiality. Will not his excellence make you afraid and the dread of him fall upon you? Your platitudes are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay." I wish that I could insult my friends with that much elegance and truthfulness. I love this line. And it's where he ends in chapter 12. "Your platitudes are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay." It is the other one that I like is verse 5. "Oh, that you would be silent, and it would be your wisdom." Isn't that the way of life? Sometimes if we would just shut up, we would be much wiser than if we spoke. And that's basically what he's telling them, as he's telling them throughout this. You don't know what you're talking about, and you presume to speak for God in telling me my sin when I tell you that I have not sinned. And he's right. He hasn't sinned, and they are speaking for God in ways that they do not understand. Which is not to say that Job understands things very well, but he is right about them and where they are with God. But he also speaks up by saying, that he is going to prepare. He's going to prepare himself to speak with God. And but oh, that God would speak and open his lips against you. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed. Sorry, I get lost on my page. But I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. He's saying, I'm just not going to listen to you anymore. I need to speak to God, and I want God to reason with me. Now, I think it's kind of funny, because later on God comes to him and says, okay, I'll ask you questions and you answer me. And Job says, no, that's okay, God. I don't need to do that. God gives him that opportunity to reason, and Job realizes his folly later on. And that's kind of interesting where we should be and where we need to get to when we hear the word of God. But right now, Job thinks, I am ready to speak to God and make him listen to me and make him answer me. And of course, what he really means is I want God to justify me. It is like my dad when I was a kid, who would say, just listen to me. No, what he didn't really mean listen to me, he meant obey me, which works when one is 12, but doesn't work so well when one is 25. You know that how that goes. But Job is kind of doing that to God, is saying, you listen to me, when what he really says is, you need to behave in ways that I think you should behave. And I think that's where we begin to see things kind of go wrong for Job. Because he wants God to do what he wants God to do, not what God wants to do. Questions or comments through these first 12 verses? All right. Verse 13, hold your peace with me and let me speak, then let come to me what may. Why do I take my flesh and my teeth, and why do I put my life in my hands? And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so I will defend my own ways before him. He shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite could not come before him. Listen carefully to my speech and to my declaration with your ears. See, now I have prepared my case. I know that I shall be vindicated. Who is he who will contend with me? For if now I hold my tongue, I perish. Only two things do not do to me, then I shall not hide myself from you. Withdraw your hand from me, and let not the dread of you make me afraid. Then call, and I will answer, or let me speak, then you respond to me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgressions and my sin. Why do you hide your face and regard me as your enemy? You will frighten a leaf driven to and fro, and you will pursue my stubble? Sorry. For you write bitter things against me, and make me inherit the iniquities of my youth. You put my feet in stocks and watch closely all my paths. You set a limit for the soles of my feet. Man decays like a rotten thing, like a garment that is moth-eaten. So Job begins his case before God. And I think it's kind of interesting because you're not really sure when he's speaking to his friends and when he's speaking to God. I mean, you're pretty sure that, because they capitalize you, you're pretty sure when at least the translators of the Bible think it is. But early on, he may be speaking to his friends. But basically he says, I'm going to speak to God even if I have to take my life in my own hands to do it. Even if he kills me, slays me, I have to speak to God. And he says to God, you know, if you want me to speak first and you answer me, or you want to speak first and let me answer you, I'm okay with it either way. And again, I'll say what I said earlier. I am not sure if this is a pleading before God or if it's a complaint to God about God. Because you read it and it doesn't, it sounds like he is justifying himself before God and says, I have a right to complain about the way you do things because I am blameless. Is that the right attitude to come before God? Chuck? Yes. Yes. I think that's probably as good of analysis as we can get. It is not the right attitude to come before God. But it is certainly understandable because of Job's understanding of who God is and how God operates. And Job's understanding that while he is a sinful man, he is that man of integrity that God has said he was. He is that man of integrity who, when he sins, seeks forgiveness of God. Tries to understand where he is in relationship to God. And all of this has turned that upside down. Absolutely upside down. Because God rewards those who are his followers and God punishes those who are not. And that's not what Job sees happening in his own life. Any other questions or comments? Couple of verses. It goes back to the verse Chuck was talking about. For you write bitter things against me and make me inherit the iniquities of my youth. I would hate to be standing before God without forgiveness of sins. If what's that? Oh, did it? Okay. Let me pull it up a little bit. I would hate to be standing before God without the blood of Christ to cover my sins. And I certainly would hate to be held accountable for the sins of my youth that I thought were forgiven me. Because goodness knows there were things that I did in my 20s and 30s that I would not do now in my almost 60s. And ways that I would have done things, ways that I would have said things, ways that I did say things. That I would not want to be accountable for now. There were things I did last week that I hope I'm not going to be accountable for. Let's be honest about that also. And I suspect that all of you are in the same place. So it is a plea from Job saying, it was Chuck was pointing out, yeah, I've sinned. I know I've sinned. But please don't hold me accountable for what's in the past and what I have sought. What I have repented of, and what I have sought forgiveness for. And it is, I think that that is a plea from his heart, saying, don't make what's happening to me now because of those things earlier. And again, from Job's understanding of God, you could see where maybe that's where his mind's going. Okay, maybe I've done something in the past that God is making me pay for today. You put my feet in the stocks and watch closely all my paths. You set a limit for the soles of my feet. God limits man, and God has basically put him in chains for something he doesn't understand why. Questions or comments about these verses? Yes, sir? I think that Job has a confidence of his place before God. And I think Job also has confidence in who God is. Of God is our creator. That God is the one who disposes of our lives as he sees fit. That he has confidence in God's ability to forgive and to make whole. And I think he has that and that, but where you see confidence to speak to God and to speak with him directly, in these verses here, it seems to me that he looks at I'm a man without anything else to lose, so here I go. Yes, and that's where I think in these last, in his response to Bildad and now in his response to Zophar, I think you get to see a man who has just been driven to his limits and past them, because he has changed in his view of how he should respond to God, and he has changed in his view as to God's righteousness, at least as regard toward him. And I will say again what we've talked about in the past is it seems to me that his friends who were there helping him, supposedly, are the ones who've driven him to that point. It's interesting that Satan did Satan's worst to Job, and Job held his faith, and then these supposed friends come to him and start talking to him, and that's what pushes Job over the edge. Yes, sir? Yes. That's true. And again, this is just somebody suggested a couple of weeks ago that these friends with very good intentions are kind of continuing Satan's work to frustrate Job and to harm him. And I think that's kind of what we see. I hear that in what you're saying, is that he has been pushed and pushed, and we understand that. As people, we understand that. And as we know the end of the story, God is willing to forgive that when Job repents and acknowledges that. It is Job who gets right with God quickly. Did I represent what you said well? Did I represent what you said okay, or did I miss something?
No, you did not.
Okay. Okay. I will speak up. Okay. I'm about there myself, so yes. Okay. Chapter 14. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the manner of his months is with you. You have appointed his limit so that he cannot pass. Look away from him that he may rest, till like a hired man he finishes his day. Man is a few days and full of trouble. He looks up and says to God, "You are the one who determines how long we live. You are the one who determines our very life. Why do you bother with us? Why do you put so much attention on us?" And Job in particular here is saying, take your eyes someplace else right now. Don't focus on me so much. What do you think would have happened to Job if God had answered his request right then? Who is protecting Job's life from Satan? God is. God has set the limits on Satan and what Satan can do to Job. We know that Satan is seeking Job's life, seeking his soul, seeking to snatch him away from God. And it is God's focus on Job, God's looking after Job, that is protecting Job from that. But Job sees only what's happening to him and says, "God is angry with me, don't look at me anymore. Turn away from me." That old country song about unanswered prayer, you know, it is, we don't know what we're asking for sometime. And here, he doesn't know what he's saying. Yes, sir? And that is the one thing I think that we learn from Job time and time again, is to trust in God no matter what our circumstances are at this moment. Trust that he's going to do what he says. Trust that he can protect us. Trust that our reward comes in the end. And what happens when we don't? When we fail in that trust? Any other questions or comments? For there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender shoots will not cease. Though the root may grow old in the earth, and the stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. But man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last, and where is he? As water disappears from the sea, and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be aroused from their sleep. I used to tell everybody that all scripture comes down to horticulture. You know, you cut down that tree, but that tree will come back from the stump. Man's not like that, Job says. Job sees it now, at this moment, that you die and then are no more. And you're no more until the heavens themselves pass away. And again, I think we see some of Job's ignorance about God and God's plan for man, but we also see a lot of Job's hopelessness at this moment. And as we've seen before, Job is to the point where he kind of hopes for that. He would just as soon be no more and not have to worry about this stuff. Questions or comments? Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, what shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. For now you number my steps, but do not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you cover my iniquity. You cover my iniquity. That is what we all hope from God, that he covers our iniquity. But Job basically is saying, we go back to that idea, don't look at me. Job looks at God as both his oppressor and his savior. You're doing this to me, but hide me until your wrath goes away. Cover me up, and then when you're over being mad at me, bring me back and lift me up again. It is this kind of strange idea that Job sees God, like I said, as both oppressor and savior. Sometimes I felt that way too. It is a very human condition where he is at right now. But it is neither accurate, it is not true of God that he is our oppressor, no matter what we feel. And it just as with Job, it is not true for Job. questions or comments. But as a mountain falls and crumbles away, and as a rock is moved from its place, as water wears away stones, and as torrents wash away the soil of the earth, so you destroy the hope of man. You prevail forever against him, and he passes on. You change his countenance and send him away. His sons come to honor, and he does not know it. They are brought low, and he does not perceive it, but his flesh will be in pain over it. His soul will mourn over it. And here gets to be the crux of the matter. This is Job charging God with fault. You have done this. And I am too weak, and all man is too weak to stand before you. It is, we all know people who build us up on the one hand and tear us down with the other. That's what Job is doing here. He talks about God's great power and his control over man, but he's also saying, you have done this without cause to me, and I can't stand. He builds up and tears down all at the same time. And once again, it's very human, and it's very wrong. Questions or comments? God is the giver of hope. I like that. It is, and once again, we'll say this. God's answer to Job, his complete answer to Job, is the New Testament. It is with the gospel we learn, definitively, that God has a better place for us. God has a reward for us. That this life is not the end of things. Now, he all through the Old Testament, Jesus said, you should have known these things. But in the New Testament, it is very explicitly stated. And Job sees that we should see what Job could not see right then. That our reward isn't on this earth, that our reward comes in being with God after this life is over. That whatever happens to us in this life is not the end. And this is what Job learned. This is what we should learn from Job. If this life is all there is, maybe he's right, but it's not. Yes, sir? And that may be the other thing that we see from here. That's a great point, because we talk about the patience of Job, but what we learn in the book of Job is the patience of God and his love for us. Thank you all very much.